Hey everybody, welcome back to Project DDS Radio, the business growth podcast for the dental professional. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Nuveen. So let's stop monkeying around and get down to business. All right, welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Project DDS Radio. I am your host, Dr. Michael Nuveen, and this week we're going to be talking about the B word. Yes, that means budget. Ugh, doesn't that sound awful? While there will be an episode in the future about a budget for your practice, this episode is about setting up a personal budget. And the following information has been adapted from The 7 Baby Steps by Dave Ramsey. If you don't know who Dave Ramsey is, you should check out his website at DaveRamsey.com. He has an amazing assortment of information, tools, podcasts, videos, lots of good stuff there. And he is not a sponsor of this podcast yet. So I have taken his 7 baby steps and adapted them to a dental professional. Now remember, this process is designed to save money, get out of debt, and most importantly, build wealth. And these steps must occur in parallel to starting a budget. So we'll go through the first step, and then we'll look at how to set up a personal budget during step 2, and then we'll move on step 3 through 7. Okay, so are you ready to build some wealth? I am. Let's do it. Step 1, save $1,000 to $5,000 for emergencies. There's a shocking number of Americans or people all over the world that have nothing in a savings account to set aside for daily or occasional emergencies. That's crazy. I can tell you, in my house, just last month, we had one of our basement window wells wash out, and boom, there was $2,500 in unreimbursed costs because my insurance didn't cover it because it was some water issue thing. Anyway, $2,500 to fix the window, and I was lucky because I had set aside some amount of money in a savings account, then I was easily able to cover the costs of the replacement of this window and repair. So that's pretty straightforward. Step 1, set aside some money just in case you have an emergency around the house or in your life. On to step 2. Step 2 is pay off all debt. Now this is the biggest step of the whole process. You're going from having credit card debt, car loan debt, second house debt, boat debt, all kinds of debt, all the way down to debt-free except your house during this step. Now, how on God's green earth are you going to pay off all your debt within a reasonable period of time when you've got kids to feed, mortgage to pay, car loans to pay, all kinds of grocery bills, hockey camp, all these things to pay? It just seems impossible, right? Wrong. You can do it by setting up a budget. So we'll get to the budget thing in a second, but first, let's figure out how to pay off debt. And you're going to do it in an organized manner using a spreadsheet or just a piece of paper or a tool that you can download off of a website, and I'll give you the address in just a second. All right, so step 2A, the first part of 2, is to list all of your personal debts with the balances smallest to largest on a spreadsheet or paper or whatever you want to record it on. So smallest balance at the top, then the next biggest, next biggest, next biggest, and so on. Then what you do is you attack the smallest debt first with every single extra dollar you have lying around, while at the same time making the minimum payments on all the other debts. What you're going to need to do here is go through the sofa, the laundry, find the extra change, sell everything that's not nailed down. If you need to sell your cats, go for it. Sell those extra bikes that are hanging on the ceilings of the garage. Go through your attic, go through your basement. Everything must go. Even that four-wheeler that you ride 2 times a year. Put all of that extra money towards that smallest debt until it's finally paid off. Now this is where the magic happens. Once you finish paying off that smallest debt amount, you take what you were paying on the smallest amount and you roll it into the next largest payment. So if you were paying $400 a month on that smallest amount, and then the next largest payment was $125, boom, you got $525 payment on the second largest debt payment. Now you can see how this can add up and add up and add up. And when you pay off the second payment, you then roll that amount into the third payment, and so on and so on. This process has a name, it's called the debt snowball. And you keep gathering steam and making larger and larger payments as you get to the next payment, and you can see how this process is really powerful. And so you keep going until all those debts are paid off. And I found a great tool for you to track your progress and log everything out online. It's at a website called tools.dougroller.net. Again, I have no affiliation with this website. Just looks like a really neat tool. So the real question is, where in the world do you come up with all the money to make these debt payments? That's where the budget comes in. Just like you can't control your weight without tracking the calories you eat and the calories you burn, you can't control your budget without tracking the money you make and the money you spend. So that's what we're going to talk about right now. Oh, incidentally, just as a side note, I found a really neat chart that shows you when you become a millionaire based on your annual savings rate. And it's a really long URL, so I created a little one for you. It's at bit.ly/growafortune, one word. That's bit.ly/growafortune, one word. So let's dive into making a budget. Now, you guys can try to use whatever tracking method that works for you. Some people use a little pad of paper. Some people use a spreadsheet. But my wife and I use a budgeting app on the web and mobile, and it's called everydollar.com. And it's free, and it is awesome. Again, you can use a similar app like Mint or a spreadsheet or just a pad of paper. But whatever you use, make sure it's portable so you can have it when you leave home. You got to trust me on this. You'll forget if you don't record the expenses while you're out and you wait till you get home to record all the expenses you just made, you're going to forget and you're going to lose receipts and it's just not going to work. So you need something that you can record the expense right when you make it. So in a basic sense, starting a budget is not that hard. You just record all of your income and all of your expenses. No restrictions, just record every penny in and every penny out. After a month or two, you should have a great idea what categories you need for expenses and income and what you can get away with spending in each category. And you might just be shocked to find out you're actually running your home expenses, your personal expenses, in the red. That is, you're spending more than you earn some months, and that is not good. So after a month or two of recording your expenses, that's when you're going to set up a budget for the next month. So you're going to record your potential income for the next month, and then you're going to take your smallest debt amount and add as much as you think you can to the payment. Now be brave here. Then you fill out the remaining expenses for the month based on what you've recorded for the last 2 months. You kind of estimate where you're going to fill in each blank. Until every last dollar of income is accounted for. And if there's any extra money left over, you add it to the debt payment. So that's why it's called Every Dollar. It's an Every Dollar budgeting app. That is, every single dollar that you make has a job to do that month. Either it's being saved, or it's being used to pay off debt, or it's being spent on monthly expenses. Now here's the tough part. The goal is to stick to the expense amounts that you have assigned to each category. And there's no cheating unless it's a real emergency. Now, if you absolutely need more in one expense category because you completely guessed totally wrong, you're going to have to borrow money from another category and transfer it into the category that you need more money in. And of course, the first category now has less money in it available for spending. Remember, you can't spend more than you earn. Now, after a few months of this, you'll start to feel pretty good about paying down the boat and start looking for things to unload on Craigslist or eBay. Go ahead, make it a game. But inevitably, you're going to run into what I call a budget buster. And they suck. A budget buster is a non-emergency expense that comes once a quarter or so, or seasonally, or even annually, that you completely forgot about. Things like disability insurance, auto insurance, Christmas, don't get me started, accountant fees, new hockey equipment, all trips, travel, all kinds of stuff. These expenses are really frustrating, and they can put you in the red really fast. So here's what I do. I have a personal checking account along with two savings accounts. One savings account is set up for emergencies. We'll get to that in the next step. The other savings account is what we call an escrow account. Now listen up here, because this is awesome. As you come across your budget busters, simply divide the expense by the frequency and put that dollar amount away each month. Now, if your head is spinning, I'm going to give you an example here. For us, travel is a big budget buster. So my wife and I love to travel, and we do so with a bit of style. So we created a travel expense in the budget each month, and we deposit 1/12 of our expected travel budget for the year in it. And that money gets transferred to the escrow savings account each month, so when we're ready to travel, we pay for the trip out of our escrow accounts. And it's like the trip is free. It works so well, we set up escrow expenses and transfers each month for Christmas gifts, auto insurance, accountant fees, clothing, medical expenses, and even IRA contributions. We put aside each month so that then at the beginning of the next year, we just deposit all of our IRA contribution at once. Brilliant! All right, now back to the debt snowball. Once you've paid off all your debt, you then take the sum of money you were paying on the very last debt, which is probably pretty sizable at that point, and you start putting it right into savings. And this is step three. Step three is to save 3 to 6 months of living expenses. Like I said, I have two savings accounts. One of them is for the 3 to 6 months of living expenses. Oh, and if you're going to use one of your local banks and they're paying you 0.00001% interest, you gotta stop that. My wife and I use a bank called Ally Bank, and it's an internet-based bank, and they pay, I believe, at the time of this recording, 1.65 or 1.75% on savings accounts. So when you finally have stuffed away a whole bunch of money in the savings account, it's time to move on to step four, and that is investing in your future. Okay, at some point, you're either going to need to or want to stop working in your office. So you're going to need to set some money aside to live on through the combination of pre- and post-tax investments. Pre-tax investments would be, for example, a 401k or a regular IRA. And post-tax investments would be a Roth IRA or what's called a brokerage account, where you can just invest in stocks, mutual funds, and things like that. If you aren't working with an advisor, I'd recommend you find what's called a fiduciary advisor. They're required to make investment recommendations that are in your best interests. So you can look for the logo called CFP and or the Registered Investment Advisor, RIA, designation. And if you're not sure, just ask them if they're fiduciary. Now the goal here is to save as much as you can for your retirement, of course, but the recommendation is 15% of your income into your retirement. If you have a 401k at work, there's no excuse for not maxing out that 401k. Also, you should be contributing to a Roth IRA, either through regular contributions or what's called the backdoor technique. Now keep in mind, with this goal, when you're shooting to save 15% of your income, the money you're putting into your 401k counts as your income. Now I'm going to give you some personal data to compare with, and this is by no means me bragging or anything. My wife and I are advanced budget users and have been using a budget at home for many years. But I save exactly 78% of what I take home from work. Yes, 78% of my income goes into savings. And my wife saves 75% of hers. Now, like I said, this is professional level. No, this is Olympic level savings and is not for the faint of heart. And we do this while still living a comfortable lifestyle. We're not living in a box under a bridge or eating beans and rice and dog food, but we are absolutely fanatical about working with a budget. And we are on a mission to save as much money as we possibly can, as quickly as we possibly can. Now, there's two levels of savings you can potentially shoot for in your retirement account. One is financial independence. That is where the money in your account has accumulated to the extent that it will last you for the rest of your life and you won't run out of money. And that is living at your current lifestyle. But there's a higher level of financial independence, and I call it financial freedom. And that is when you have enough money put away that the money itself is making more than you are. In other words, if you were to retire on the day of your financial freedom, the money you've saved would be spitting out dividends at the rate of income you're receiving right now. In other words, as you spent the money from your investments, you would never touch the principal. It would just keep pushing out money, pushing out money, pushing out money through dividends. Now that would be awesome. Okay, enough of that fantasy stuff. Let's move on to step five. And the fifth step is to fund your children's college education. There's a very good reason this comes after saving for retirement. The simple fact is you can take a loan out for college, but you can't take a loan out for retirement. So don't risk your retirement while trying to save for your children's college education. We would all do anything in the world for our children, but risking your retirement by pouring money into a savings account for your child's education is really not good financial management. The most popular vehicle for college savings is what's called a 529 plan, and they are sponsored by individual states. Most states have them, and their features and benefits vary based on where you live. I did look up some of the top-rated plans, and they are based in the states of Illinois, Utah, Virginia, and Nevada. Obviously, you need to invest into their 529 plans with take-home money, so once you made sure that your retirement is being well-funded, then put any and all extra income into the 529 accounts. And if possible, it's really to your benefit to get started on these 529 savings accounts as early as possible in the child's life so that the money in them has a chance to grow as much as possible. And boy, are you going to need it. I did some digging on a special site called bigfuture.collegeboard.org, which has a college cost calculator on it. And it is really depressing. Let me break this down for you. If your child was born at the time of this recording and was wanted to go to a private elite college, the cost for 4 years of college in 18 years from now would be approximately $643,000. And that's just for 4 years. What if they're a slacker and they join a fraternity like me and they end up in college for 6 years? So my point is, just get to it and start saving money for college, but not at the risk of your retirement. All right, now that I beat that to death, let's go on to step six, and that is to pay off the home early. Now, this is a controversial subject. My accountant suggests that I not pay off my home. In fact, he actually suggested I take out a home equity line for emergencies. And the reason he would suggest that is because the mortgage interest deduction on my taxes. Now, I'm not sure if I've lost that deduction or if it still applies, but either way, it doesn't add up to a ton of money. So what the deduction is, you get to deduct the interest on your mortgage payment from your taxes. So in other words, you don't pay tax on the interest portion of your mortgage payment. Obviously, depending on the size of the mortgage payment, you're going to save maybe as much as $300 a month or so. But if you pay off the mortgage entirely quicker than you're supposed to, you won't have any interest to pay at all. So for me and my wife, we are aggressively paying our mortgage at this point. And I can't wait to not have a mortgage payment each month. And then, can you imagine what you'd be able to save if your entire mortgage payment, minus homeowner's insurance and the property tax, were devoted towards savings or maybe recreation? And the seventh step is to build wealth after your house is paid off and give. Obviously, you can give anytime you want, but you can imagine the level of impact you can have with your giving when you have zero debt in your life. It would be fantastic. Imagine all the people you can help. Imagine all the things you can do to help people with your newfound wealth. Okay, I'm going to go through those steps all over again really quick here. Step one is to start an emergency fund right away to cover any emergencies so you don't get derailed. And that can be $1,000 to $5,000. Then step two is to pay off all your debt using the debt snowball technique. Once you have all the debt paid off, then you need to save 3 to 6 months living expenses for any major emergencies. And remember, most of us that have disability insurance, it has a 90-day waiting period where before it kicks in, so you've got 3 months of living where you're not making any money. Then step four is to invest 15% of your household income into pre- and post-tax investments. And you can slide that percent up to whatever number you're comfortable with. Step five is to fund your children's college education through 529 accounts. Step six is to pay off the home early, yippee. And step seven is to build wealth and give. Okay, that's it. You did it. Great job. Now you have your marching orders. I know this whole thing sounds crazy, starting a budget, paying off debt, but you can do it. I did it. You can do it too. Once you get the hang of it, it'll just seem completely normal and natural, and you're going to watch your debt go down and down and down, and it is amazing. So take a look at the show notes. I have all the resources in there, some links, and I have links to some resources that you can download as well. Oh, I almost forgot. Don't forget to give me some feedback through the direct message feature of the Anchor app, or just send me a question, and maybe I'll feature you on my next podcast. And as a special bonus to my loyal podcast listeners, that's you guys, I have a free, downloadable, 5-minute practice financial checkup available. And you can get that by going to bit.ly/practice checkup. That's bit.ly/practice checkup, all one word. Thank you. Congratulations. You are now one step closer to being in business. This is your host, Dr. Michael Naveen. See ya.